Morning. Ready for a new church year? The year went by so fast, huh? So we're going to take that down. It's not holy, holy anymore. Although I hope you are. Yeah, it's because we take the sign down doesn't mean we aren't, right? So let's continue to keep that in mind as we move forward. We aren't going to, as we usually do, and when we start off the church new year, we go through our mission statement a little bit and kind of relay the foundation. It's so foundational to our faith, not just to our church. So it's a good idea to just keep going back over it, right, and remind ourselves what are the fundamental things about our faith and what is our church here to do. You know, our mission statement, FCPC, exists to make disciples, right? According to the Great Commission. So today we're going to do a short mini-series on discipleship, like 3 or 4 sermons on it. I wanted to start today to kind of talk about discipleship in general. And the question that I want to put out in front of us is, why follow Christ? You know, why go through all of this? What does it mean to follow Christ? What is it that we need to do to just kind of be faithful to the calling that we have as disciples? Let's read this together, okay? The first passage comes from Mark chapter 3, which is kind of in the middle of Jesus' ministry. The second passage comes from John chapter 6, which is also is kind of near the end, but not that much farther after the Mark passage. But let's go and read this together, okay? 1, 2, 3. Jesus withdrew to the sea with his disciples, and a great multitude from Galilee followed, and also from Judea, and from Jerusalem, and from Idumea, and beyond Jordan, and the vicinity of Tyre and Sidon. A great number of people heard of all that he was doing and came to him. Then later, as a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. So Jesus said to the 12, "You do not want to go away also, do you?" And the question that came to my mind as I kind of thought about this is, so what happened, right? So at some point in Jesus' ministry, everybody, and then these places, you may not be familiar with these names of places, but it's basically the whole area around Israel and even outside of Israel. So people from all over, hundreds of miles away, were coming to follow, to hear Jesus and then to see Jesus. So there was these crowds and multitudes of people. And throughout a lot of the Gospels, you see Jesus being followed by crowds of people. And that's kind of what happened. But then in John chapter 6, which is not that far after this Mark passage, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. Something happened, right? Something happened between Mark chapter 3 and John chapter 6 that all of a sudden all these people who are coming to Jesus and listening to Jesus and wanting to follow Jesus decided, no more. I don't want to do this anymore. This is not for me. And they walked away. I think John exists in a very specific context, but I want to kind of address this question from a bigger context to kind of look at what would happen to these people. And I think what's very significant about this John passage is that a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew. It wasn't the people who just wanted to come along and see what was going on. It wasn't like the bandstanders that just kind of join in at the last minute to see, oh, this is the hottest thing. This is the fad thing. Let's check it out. These are actually disciples of Jesus. People who would identify themselves as followers of Jesus Christ. And for whatever reason, many, many of his disciples, and I'm thinking hundreds and thousands when it says many, stopped. And the question that came to mind, why? What is it that happened? So next slide. And I think what happened was, the people who stayed and the people who left answered this question differently. Why do I follow Jesus? Why do I follow Jesus? And I think because of their different answers, it kind of defined what they would do, whether they would leave or stay at different times in Jesus' ministry. So I want to talk through these people who left. What were some of the kind of things that they might have been thinking? What is the kind of philosophy or reason to follow Jesus that brought them to a place where they would leave, And I take this on kind of with the thought of, well, how does that speak to me, right? How do I know stay on it, right? Stay with Jesus and continue. Who knows what'll happen? Maybe someday I'll decide to walk away from Jesus. Why am I so sure that I'm not? What is it that I need to do to make sure that I'm not one of these people that at some point in my life walk away from Jesus? And I think we all know people like that. We all know people like that who really seem to be real disciples of Jesus, following passionately after Jesus, and at some point in their life, for whatever reason, walked away. And no longer choose to be a follower of Christ. So next slide. So I thought about it, and here I think the scripture gives us three, and I call them inadequate reasons. So here are three reasons that people follow Jesus that they're not illegitimate. That's a different word, right? Illegitimate means wrong. You should never think that way. You should never do that. It's not illegitimate answers. They're inadequate answers. In other words, if this is the reason that people follow Jesus, doesn't mean they're way off and then they're really wrong. But it means that, in fact, some of these things might be reasonable and a reason to follow Jesus, but it can't be the reason you follow Jesus. By themselves only, they are not strong enough to hold a person to Jesus Christ. So what are these inadequate reasons? These reasons that we can have, reasons to follow Jesus, reasons we want to come to church every Sunday and be here with God's people. What are some reasons that maybe are good reasons, but not the ones that will hold us to Jesus? Next slide. One, I think they were hooked on healing. Okay? If you look at this, some of the scribes and Pharisees said to him, and this, I think we see in scripture that what they said reflects what a lot of other people were thinking also. They said, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." But he answered and said to them, "An evil and adulterous generation craves for a sign, and yet no sign will be given to it but the sign of Jonah the prophet." And we don't have time to get into it, but basically he's saying, other than the resurrection, my resurrection from the dead, that's going to be the sign that I give to you. But how many of us, or how many people, look at Jesus kind of like the genie, right? The genie who gives three wishes. You know, he's the guy that he does miraculous things. He's the one that makes weather great when I pray for good weather for a picnic or whatever. He's the one who gets me my job when I need a job and I pray for a job, that the guy gives me a job. He's the one that gets me my girlfriend or my boyfriend. You know, I've been praying for one and God gives, you know, and we follow Jesus, or we see him doing these things in our life, and because of these things that he does, that's why we kind of, as long as he keeps doing this stuff, I'm going to follow Jesus because this is great. You know, when I need something, when I really passionately need something, and I come to God and I pray to Jesus, I get it. You know, a lot of times, not every time maybe, but a lot of times. So I want to follow Jesus because he does these miraculous things. And then maybe you were healed and it's kind of like you pray, you had some injury or some sickness and that was really debilitating you, and you prayed and God took it away, and you think, wow, that's really great. Now I want to follow that kind of a God. And again, those are not bad reasons. It's not like you cannot think that. Of course you can. But if that's the only reason, if that's the only reason or the main reason why you want to follow Jesus, you don't want to, then you're not following Jesus for the right reason, because he doesn't do miracles all the time. If miracles always happened, they wouldn't be miracles. It would be normal, right? Miracles mean something really abnormal, something that's something that doesn't usually happen happens. And too many times I think we look at the times that God supernaturally intervenes in our life to bless us or give us something or work something out for us, which he does. He absolutely does. And we're thankful. But we can be thankful, but we should not make the fact that he gave us those things and look at all the stuff I get when I believe in Jesus the reason why we follow Jesus. We cannot do that, because what happens is when the miracles stop, when you really need that one miracle that you really want, maybe a sick thing or a money thing or a relationship thing that you really want, maybe God chooses not to intervene supernaturally at that moment out of his sovereignty. If your trust is only in him because he's a healer, because of the signs that he can do, then when he doesn't do that, we will walk away. we will walk away. Our faith, we cannot be hooked on healing. And again, I want to say it's okay to really be thankful for the miracles God does in our life and to acknowledge that God does that. Absolutely, He does. But that cannot be the reason why we follow Jesus. Next. Second one, they were feasting on food, right? Hooked on healing, feasting on food. When the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, so here's this crowd following Jesus, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the small boats, came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. This is after Jesus did the feeding the 5,000 thing, so these 5,000 people plus were kind of following him. They came to Capernaum seeking Jesus, and when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered them and said, so here's Jesus, right? He looks at these people. He's not afraid to tell the truth. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me, not even because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and you were filled. You follow me because I fed you. And you thought, wow, if I follow Jesus, I have food. I don't have to worry about food. I don't have to worry about making a living. Some of us follow Jesus. Well, some people, I will be gracious to us, right? Some people follow Jesus because they want the American dream, and they believe that if they follow Jesus, God will give them the American dream. That's what they believe, and that's why they do it. Now, again, God absolutely blesses us with things. Absolutely takes care of us and doesn't let us starve. You know, he promised that he'll take care of our food, our clothing, and those essential things that we need. But he never promised us the American dream. He never promised us that. And so I think it is important for us again to understand the fact that we can feast on food, that we can enjoy the blessings of God in our life, do not become the reason why we follow Jesus. Third thing is, next slide. So here's a person who wanted to follow Jesus, and then someone came to him and said, teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may obtain eternal life? And he said to him, why are you asking me about what is good? There's only one who is good, but if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments. Here's a guy, and I think many people who follow Jesus followed him for this reason. They love learning. They like to hear what he said. They, wow, those are really wise things that he's saying. So profound and then so deep. And then, wow, they sound so true, right? That they're listening to what Jesus says and his teachings. And they're saying, they follow Jesus because, wow, it's so wise. And I just want to learn from this great teacher. And again, I want to say nothing wrong with the fact that absolutely God gives us truth. Absolutely God gives us great sayings and wisdom for life. But if that becomes the only reason that we follow Jesus, or the main reason, because we want to learn about life, we want to learn what he says, we want to learn the teachings of this great teacher. Look at the next slide, right? You all know what happens. Next. The young man said to him, all these things I've kept. What am I still lacking? Jesus said to him, if you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. The problem with following Jesus just because you think he's a great teacher and you want to learn all the things that he wants to say is that sometimes the things that he has to say to us, we may not want to hear. Sometimes the things that he needs to teach us, the things he wants us to do that are right, that are the good things, that are things we need to hear, we don't want to hear. And when we hear it, we walk away. We say, okay, all the other stuff, that's great. But if you're going to talk about this thing about my life, then no thank you. I want nothing to do with that. Goodbye. And I was thinking through this. Next slide. So what happens here? Why these things are inadequate is because all these reasons focus on me. It focuses on me. I follow Jesus because I get to experience miracles, because I get to see these amazing things. It's so cool to follow Jesus because he does amazing things that I get to experience. Or I get to I get to eat well, I have a good life, I have all these stuff, I'm feasting on food, right? I don't have to worry about my meal, I don't have to worry about my clothes, I don't have to worry about my house. God's taking care of me, that's why I follow Jesus. Or the third thing, He's such a great teacher, I go to church every Sunday and I learn these great things, you know, about life, and that's why I want to be a Christian and follow Jesus, because there's such great teaching in that. All of these, like I said, are not illegitimate reasons. They're inadequate. They're not enough of their own. And how do you know if you have one of these? You know that you believe one of these things when something happens in your life to challenge it. For instance, if you are hooked on healing and you pray, you need a miracle. You need a miracle and you pray for the miracle and the miracle does not happen. Do you walk away? Do you feel God let you down? Do you feel like, I don't deserve this? Why didn't you do this for me? I try to be so good. Or feasting on food. Maybe you don't get the job you wanted. Maybe sometimes you go through some real financial difficulty. Maybe sometimes you get persecuted for your faith. What happens? You get laid off and you can't find work and you pray and God says for you, you don't get the American dream for this season. Do you walk away? Is your faith challenged? Or this last one, which I think is probably more common than we care to admit, that we love the teachings of Jesus. But every once in a while, some zinger comes in there, and we don't want to do that. You know, that one I'm going to ignore. I'm going to pretend I didn't hear that one. I'm going to pretend that wasn't in the Bible, because I don't want to deal with that. You will know whether you are clinging on to one of these as inadequate by what causes you to start to your faith to shake a little bit or waver as to whether or not you're really committed to following Jesus. Is it the signs, the miracles? Is it the provision? Is it the teaching? Or is it something else? If these are inadequate reasons, what are the right reasons? Right? What is it that we're supposed to have as a reason? So next slide. So as a result of this, many disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. That passage continues. So Jesus said to the 12, you don't want to go away also, do you? And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have words of eternal life. We have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Everybody else walked away except these 12 people. And Jesus asked them, wow, why are you still here? How come everybody else walked away and you're still here? Why have you followed me? And I think the reason they followed Jesus was different than the reason the other people followed Jesus. The reason that they followed Jesus, first of all, he has words of eternal life. Now, eternal life doesn't mean live forever because everybody lives forever. Just matters where you live forever or how you live forever is different. So living forever eternal life doesn't mean you live forever. Everybody does. It's really talking about a quality of life. Are you living the life that God designed and meant for you to live? Are you living the life that you are to experience, that God wanted you to experience? And I think Peter and the disciples, they saw in what Jesus said, and because they were willing to listen to everything he said, even the things that were hard to hear, and to receive them as coming from God, that they experienced life differently. Their life was harder. Their life was more challenging. Their life was maybe a little more isolated. They didn't have all the success, the financial success. They didn't have popularity. But I think their experience of life was full. They knew what it meant to be alive. And I think a lot of us, and I include myself in there, we live in this world and God has been so good to us. And we can enjoy all these good things. But somehow, sometimes we start thinking, this is the good life. You know, I get to eat steak tonight when I go home. I get a nice bed to sleep in. You know, I have a dog in the backyard. I have a backyard. You know, all those things, right? And you kind of sit back and you think, this is the good life. This is good. And we start to buy into that. And I think what Peter and the disciples saw is, no, this is not the good life. This is not close to the good life. Real life is something else. I've told the story before, but I love the story because it's so true. Chuck Swindoll tells the story that one day an eagle's egg fell down, right? From eagles put their eggs way up in the mountain, and it rolled down the hill, ended up in the nest of a prairie chicken. Prairie chicken are just little scrubby little birds that don't fly, and they just eat bugs off the ground and stuff like that. So this eagle egg landed in the nest of this prairie chicken, and it was hatched. So the hatchling came out, kind of saw the parent. You know, the parents teach them, this is how you catch food, right? You grab the bug or whatever you do, and then kind of taught. And his whole life, he lived like a prairie chicken. And one day he would look up in the sky to see the eagles flying up there. He said, "Well, I wish I could be an eagle. Why can't I be like that? But I'm just a prairie chicken. So I'm gonna, this is my life. And it's a good life. I don't starve. You know, I'm alive." Never realizing that he was an eagle. He should have been flying up there eating prairie chickens, you know? It's kind of like totally different, right? Wow, and I think because we live in this world, we're born into this world, it's so easy for us to look at the world and see this as that's all there is. And we define good life by what we see in this world and what we experience in this world. We don't remember, or we don't even know, there's a whole nother world that is so much better than this that we have no glimpse of. No understanding of, but it's there. And it's ours. And I just read this and I look at these people and I look at us, and again, I include us because myself is included in that. Sometimes we get so caught up in everyday life in this world and we enjoy the things of this world so much. This becomes the good life. And we lose sight of what the good life really is supposed to be. What is really supposed to be. And Jesus has the words of eternal life. He will tell us what we have to do to experience the life that we really need to experience, real life. But because we step back from that, we don't want to jump off a, you know, the eagle doesn't want to jump off a mountain and see if he can fly because he doesn't think he can. So we don't want to take that step of faith. We don't want to step out of our prairie chicken mindset because we're afraid or we can't even imagine something more. So we step back and Jesus is saying, don't do that. Here's what you have to do. It may make no sense to you. Like I'm sure the eagle hatchling, jump off the mountain. You'll fly. Don't worry about it. You know, but I was that eagle. I said, no way. You know, nobody around me flies, you know, so why should I fly? That's like us. Right? Isn't it? And I think we define the good life by what we see, not what we know. And Jesus tells us how you can experience the good life. And the problem is the way we experience the good life as God designed it is off. The way we get it is so different than the way the world gets its good life. So we step back. We're not willing to take that chance. We're not willing to step out and believe what Jesus says. Do it his way, even though it makes no sense. And we don't see how it's going to work. And it may even make us a failure in this world. And we're not willing to take that step and really experience the life that he wanted us to experience. If we would only do it. I think these 12, different than all the other multitudes, said, you know, you have the words of eternal life. When we do what you say, we experience life on a different dimension than we ever experienced before. That's what I want. We're not leaving. Next slide. The last thing. If Jesus did nothing for us, we follow Jesus because he is the King. He is the Messiah. By position, he's the Creator. He's by just for who he is, like John read from the passage this morning, that he is during communion. All knees are going to bow before Jesus. Whether we like it or not, he's the King. And we follow Jesus because of who he is. Even if he gave us nothing, we still should follow Jesus. Because he's God. By who he is, demands our fellowship. And I think the people, the disciples understood this. You know, they understood, yeah, even though you're going to, you know, our life has not been that easy and it's been crazy, but we've experienced great life. But where else are we going to go? You're the King. You're the Lord. Why should we go somewhere else? And I think that's so critical to understanding where your faith is. Why do you follow Jesus? Why do you follow Jesus? Why do you pay the price? Why do you sacrifice? Why do you do all the things you do supposedly for Jesus? Why do you do that? Why do you do that? Is it because he does great things for you? Is it because he feeds you? Is it because you get great teaching? Or is it because when you do what he says, you experience life on a different level? Or because you understand he's the Lord? What else can I do? What else can I do? And you understand, you can look at that. Next slide. If these are the reasons you follow Christ, it doesn't matter what happens in your life. It doesn't matter what disappointments, what discouragements, what frustrations, whatever happens in your life, you will still follow Jesus. If these are the reasons you follow Jesus, you follow him because you know he will tell you, he will teach you how to really experience the life God meant you to experience. And because you know he's the Lord. He's the Lord. If those two things are true for you, you will not walk away. You will not walk away because those are independent of your circumstances, independent of anything about your life. These are just rock solid truth that you can stand your life upon. It's a rock that you build your life upon. He has the words of eternal life, and he is the Holy One of God.